Welcome to episode 49 of the Geeks for the Win podcast. I'm your host, William, known as Poetic Soul 44, and I'm joined with my co-host, Stuart.
Known across the internet as Casual Terror, and somehow increasingly getting known as Casual Vampire.
Yes, and with that, I'm glad we can actually hear Henry.
What's going on, people? This is Knox in the, I guess it wouldn't be the flesh, it'll be the, what, the digitized audio stream-ness? I don't know.
Really your voice out to the people.
But yeah, and we had a rough start, but, you know, we're going to push right through it, and hopefully with editing, this will be a pretty good show. I know it's going to be a good show. Basically E3 wrap-ups. I know Stuart and I kind of last week we talked, but Henry, you weren't able to join us, and we want to hear what you thought of E3, so, you know, the floor is yours.
Okay, I guess I'll just start in the order that the conferences went. Please forgive me because my memory may escape me for a little while on a couple of these things. But I guess Microsoft was first, right?
Yes.
So we did the whole Skype cast and everything. Microsoft was first. I can't remember what the first thing they showed.
Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Modern Warfare 3. We are all three of us. Everybody predicted it. We knew it was coming because they have that contract. It's for the exclusivity for Modern Warfare 3. I thought that it actually looked better than Modern Warfare 2. As it should have looked. Of course, it's still, I mean, to me, it's just more Modern Warfare. I guess the only thing that I am curious about is the Spec Ops mode.
Looks pretty cool. Yeah. I saw something on Jimmy Fallon.
I think Adam Sessler, he had like a full sit down with it, but I wasn't able to find the video and watch it before we started up. But I'm going to try to see if I can check that out.
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon was playing with Simon Pegg on his show.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, they had they of course announced Spec Ops mode, so they're bringing that back. I think it's still I think it's just more COD. I mean, so if you like COD, that'll be for you. When they showed it at E3, I was just like blah because I'm not really. I kind of stopped at Modern Warfare 2 after the community kind of died down off that. I never bought Black Ops. I played it. I played through the campaign, and that was about it. I mean, I didn't really do too much. It was more COD to me, and that was basically it for me. You know, I don't want to go on the Raven rant because I know I'll get hate mail from Fadios and everybody that loves COD. I'm not saying that COD is not a good game. I mean, it's a really good, solid game. Yeah. It was just basically just more of it. I mean, it's the same way people feel about Halo. I mean, you know, it's just more of it at this point.
Yes, and I want to clear up. You called me a fanboy, I believe.
No, I didn't call you a fanboy.
You called me a Call of Duty fanboy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I am not a Call of Duty fanboy.
Come on.
I did not pick it up. I did not have it pre-ordered. I did not pick it up midnight release.
Raptor Love. He is a zombies fanboy.
Yes, exactly. Anything with zombies, I love. And that's a really good mode.
Well, zombies is a part of COD. So.
No, I mean anything with zombies, you know, not just Call of Duty zombies, anything zombies related.
By the way, I want to start up a game night with Dead Nation because that game is awesome.
Yeah, okay.
But, after they showed COD, did they bring up Ghost Recon next, or was it Mass Effect 3?
I don't remember. We had a list.
Oh yeah, I think it was a Tomb Raider trailer. This trailer was actually really, really good. I liked Tomb Raider from what they showed. I really do like the way they changed her character to fit the storyline that it's actually in, because now she's a lot younger. They've said over and over again that she's a lot more naive. She doesn't have the experience. She's not this cool, calm, collective character that you know as to be Lara Croft from the original games, because of course she is that younger, you know, kind of scrappy, you know, trying to find her way through all these different new experiences. I thought the trailer that they showed was really, really good, where they kind of showed the aspects of kind of the transitions between gameplay and little small video clips and things like that. They had a real smooth transition. It just reminds you, of Uncharted. It kind of felt more visceral than Uncharted. I mean, the way she was kind of falling off stuff and kind of halfway breaking her bones, and it kind of felt a little bit more eerie. The graphics engine, I don't know if they were running that on PC or the console or not. It looked like it was the console. It didn't like it was too far from what they could run on 360 or PS3. But the thing that got me was the water effects when she was under kind of the water passageway, and she was holding the torch above her head, and the fire was kind of glazing over the top of the rocks, but it was still staying wet. That was very impressive to me as far as graphics are concerned. They haven't given too much about the storyline, but I do like I said, I like the way they portrayed her character in this. I like the more younger, a little bit more scrappy, she can kind of take damage and things like that. I like the setting of it too. I mean, we get to go back to the tombs. No more are we hopping around the city, shooting guns and killing 1,500 guys. But I guess it is yet to be seen.
Tomb Raider in the tombs,
right?
Wow.
Exactly. But we're back in the tombs, I was really, really pleased with that. And like I said, it will probably kind of reinvigorate my passion for Tomb Raider, which has kind of been stolen from Uncharted so far. So, I liked it. It was good. I think the next thing was Mass Effect 3, and this may be out of order, but I'm just talking as I remember it.
Just go ahead. Talk.
I think the next thing was Mass Effect 3. Of course, I'm a Mass Effect 3. I'm a Mass Effect fanboy. I mean, so automatically I was excited for it there. I think the biggest, controversy and the biggest thing was that the whole Better with Kinect thing. This is when they started to kind of ramp up on all the Kinect features and everything else. I thought it was cool, actually. I mean, I'm just a big geek when it comes to that type of stuff. I'm the guy back in the day that bought the Power Glove. I bought the track mat for the original Nintendo. I mean, all this stuff. I mean, I bought the chair that they had for PC back in the day with the vest and everything. So I'm just a big advocate of interactivity and hopefully pushing the next step of immersion towards games. So, I mean, this to me seems like baby steps, but steps nonetheless. I know people were talking about the voice commands and everything, and I don't claim to be an expert, but people say, Rainbow Six did this a long time ago on PC because you can talk through the headset, and Ghost Recon did it on the consoles whenever they brought it there, and Counter-Strike did a little bit of it. That may be true, but I think, and this is just me thinking, I could be wrong. If somebody's more of a tech-savvy person than I am, please correct me. But I think it's because of the fact that Kinect has its own built-in voice processor, and it actually processes all the voice algorithms within the actual unit. Whereas, when you're speaking to your PC, your PC is basically the workhorse. Or if your PlayStation Eye was going to do voice recognition, your PS3 would have to process the information. And I think the Kinect was designed with that in mind to process it a lot faster.
You got tons of people arguing that, that Tom Clancy's End War was able to do it with the headset. Why can't this do it with a headset? And
right.
That's the reason why, is because the Kinect's hardware is able to process and do all that.
It's got its own voice codec.
Right, exactly. So I think that's kind of the biggest thing. But nonetheless, I did think that it was kind of redundant to kind of say, the option on the screen, and then he goes into the whole acting thing and everything. Hopefully they can create an experience to where you will actually be able to perform dialogue. I don't know how they would pull that off, because with Mass Effect, there's tons of different ways that you can go with as far as dialogue and things like that. I really like the fact that now I can keep my hand, because I play as a soldier class. So I'm pretty much the guy that is either a support, or I'm either the guy on the front line protecting my teammates and everything. I just use my teammates as pretty much as kind of helpmeets on the battlefield. So, I mean, for me, that's perfect, because as a soldier class, I can say, Liara, warp, Garrus, move up, to this spot or whatever, put him in the front without having to take my hand off the trigger, and without having to pause the battle. So I thought that stuff was really, really cool. I mean, that was awesome to me. I mean, it's just a fruition of what they're saying. And like I say, if you don't want to use it, you don't have to, because it's hence the name. It's just better with Kinect. You know, whether you think it's better or not, I like the fact the feature is in there. I guess the next thing they showed, one thing on the Mass Effect, I don't know if this was in EA's conference or if this was in Microsoft's conference, but that whole railgun thing was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. They can cut that railgun out of Mass Effect 3 and I would not shed a tear at all. Like, that was just stupid. Like, this is a futuristic time where people are using, you know, heat clips and laser guns and all that stuff and everything, and you got him on a freaking railgun. Are you serious? Like,
yeah, they take that part out. The wrong part to show.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that at all. Like, you know.
Same with Battlefield 3. They picked the wrong part to show.
Yeah. Well, they didn't pick necessarily the wrong part, but they didn't.
Picked the wrong part.
Well, I mean, that part of that, I guess we'll get into it later, but that part showed how vast the world was. They just drug it on too long. I guess the next thing was the Ghost Recon demo. Another cool thing with Kinect, I actually like this actual demo that they had. Of course, the guy was showing us the game, and he told us, I guess it's called the gun cage or something, or your gun locker or whatever it's called. Well, anyways, he was controlling the gun. He was switching the different parts of the gun and everything, and he was able to take pieces of the guns out and kind of readjust them. And if you don't want to spend the time, you know, kind of like in Forza. In Forza 3, if you're not a real tech-savvy guy about balancing and everything and all this stuff and everything, you can just say optimize for long range and it'll do it for you. Or you can say optimize for short range and it'll do it for you. And it'll kind of create your gun together. And if you don't want to, and if you think waving your hands in the air is silly, you don't have to do that. You can sit on your couch and just talk to it. You know, you can say gas chamber. You can say, front muzzle or barrel or whatever, and it'll bring it up for you. You can customize that the way you want it with voice control. I don't know. I just get excited on stuff like that because, you know, this is a fruition of what they promised, in the beginning of the conceptualized of what Kinect would actually be. Has it become what they said it was going to be in the beginning? I don't think, no. I think Kinect has a long way to go, and especially with these hacks and everything. I'm actually loving that stuff. Speaking of hacks, I guess I'll just get into the whole Fun Labs thing. This was pretty, I mean, it's cool, I guess, because you can do it, but it was pretty lackluster. I've actually had a chance to play with the Fun Lab stuff lately.
What do you think?
I mean the Fun Lab stuff, it doesn't really allow you to do much. I mean, I thought that it was going to be an option to where you could create your avatar in Fun Labs and then use that avatar on the dashboard or on
That was whatever. A big failure.
Yeah, I didn't know that it was just supposed to be in that designated area. So all you can do, you can log in. Like I think I logged in and I saw Forgetful. I saw Night Terror. I saw a couple other people's avatars in there. But you can't interact with them. You can't party chat with them. You can't do anything with them. They just sit there and you take pictures with them. And that's about it. So I don't know if these are all concepts that they hope to bring to the dashboard, like the main dashboard. Or I don't know if this is just some kind of, I don't know what it is.
It's a proof of tech right now.
Right, exactly. Because you have the guy doing the whole
thing. With the avatar thing, I don't think they want to scare a little kid just yet with that.
Yeah.
Those avatars are pretty scary.
Yeah, and right now, I think Kinect's just a beta test, you know, and we're not going to really see its full potential till next console, where it'll be, you know, integrated in the actual console.
Yeah, exactly. But they had the guy doing the finger tracking thing. So, I mean, we already knew that it could do finger tracking a long time ago. I mean, so that wasn't really a big deal. He just drew a line around himself and took pictures of himself, which that's okay. That one's not even on Fun Labs. The last time I checked it, it's not even on there. So they have hopes to bring more content to it, but that's just going to be a play area. And I actually thought that Fun Labs was going to be the place where you as the user could create more content, but that was kind of a fail too, because you can't even do that in there. The only thing you can do is test out other people's creations. you know, I think they ought to take what people are doing with the Windows Connect hack stuff and bring that over to the 360 somehow. That stuff is real cool. I saw a guy that basically made Street Fighter controllable with the Kinect. I saw a lady, she had a game that she made with shadow puppets and everything, where you create your hand and you do different shadow puppets, and then Kinect controls the shadow puppets as you move your hand and everything. That stuff is cool. I've seen
World of Warcraft played with Kinect.
Yeah,
that was like when it came out, like the week after, somebody was already on that.
Right. I guess the next thing that I remember was the Minecraft announcement. I think the Minecraft is cool. I mean, because we had, you know, games like Fortress Craft in the indie space, but having the Minecraft stuff is really, really cool. I don't know if they've announced whether or not it's cross-platform play or not. I guess they said that it is, but people are kind of saying, you know, okay, what about updates? What about support? You know, with Microsoft security and everything, they don't really know how that's going to pan out. Hopefully, you know, much like we see the free content with Valve and stuff like that, this will kind of push Microsoft to a point to where they'll have to give in and they'll have to start, you know, letting people use this stuff the way they want, you know, the way they want it to be used without all the security measures and everything like that or whatever. But I thought the Minecraft announcement was huge. It's not for me personally. I'm not a real big creative person. I'm not a real big creative type person. I play with the most I've ever done is play with Forge Mode and Halo Reach and Halo 3. That's about as far as my creation stuff goes. The games like Mod Nation Racers, Little Big Planet, I just play what everybody else creates for a little while, and that's about the gist of what I do. So that wasn't really, you know, exciting for me. I guess the next thing that they had was the Xbox Live TV.
I know you're excited about that.
Yeah, me personally, and my wife, I mean, anything as far as free content for TV or little to no content cost for TV is right up my alley. I haven't had cable for over a year now, and I tell you, that's the biggest bill that we probably had in our household, other than, of course, mortgage or something like that or whatever. But, you know, to have Hulu Plus, to have Netflix, to have shows that are on demand on Zoom and things like that, and then now to have Xbox Live TV, you know, any extra TV content.
Basically,
that I can
your local
get.
Channels that I've heard.
Yeah. So, like, local channels and everything. I mean, I can switch the video on my TV, but how cool is it just to stay right there, you know, right there on my console and then continue just watching whatever? And then I guess they hadn't released any details. That was kind of a disappointment. I was hoping. But I mean, hey, it's E3. I mean, they're probably not going to stand up there and, you know, go through, you know, these are the plans that we're going to have and everything, because we've seen in past time that, you know, people don't want to hear all that. So that's probably the reason why these developers don't go into too much detail when they're announcing stuff. But like I said, that was big for me, because anything TV wise, low cost or free, yeah, you know, like ESPN, I think they announced the whole UFC stuff. I'm not into UFC, but I might watch it now, because, I mean, if it's going to be on there in some shape or form, I'll probably
it's
get
going to be you're going to be able to order the events on it, I think.
Okay, you can actually order it. So, like a pay-per-view service or whatever.
Yeah, whether, and, you know, more stuff where you can interact, and the stuff they showed, like you can pick who fights and, you know, stats and stuff like that. I'm not sure whether or not it'll be cheaper than, like, ordering it on cable or anything like that. They haven't announced anything like that. But from what I can tell, it's going to be ordering your pay-per-views on it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that really stuck out to me, and I really like that. Like I said, Xbox Live TV is all right with me. I mean, hopefully they'll be able to bring more content. Then, of course, they went into the whole Xbox Bing search. I thought that was cool, because of the fact that sometimes I don't want to open up each program, and sometimes I want to find something really, really quick. So if I can say Xbox Bing, you know, I don't know, X-Men or whatever, like they did on stage, you know, it goes through every single piece of content. So anything that you don't know that's on there, it actually goes through everything that's available on your Xbox console. So I really like that. And I like that more so even for people like my wife, who don't really know that the content is there. She can just go online and say Xbox Bing Desperate Housewives, and it'll pop up everything that's available.
Yeah. Let's get real. You just want to say, you know, Bing Halo and see everything available that's Halo related.
You know,
in case you've missed something. In case you've missed something.
Just give it all. Speaking of Halo, everybody knows that the Halo Anniversary Collection is coming out, and this is the biggest thing that I am waiting on, because Halo 1 holds a special place in every Halo fanboy's heart. You guys, everybody knows my stance on Halo, so I just can't wait to play the game through co-op with somebody else, in the comfort of my own home in HD. I like the fact that they kept it pure. They kept the original Halo 1 engine. They kept the pistol in all of its overpowered glory. You know, they kept all the original sounds and everything's real. The only thing they changed was a complete overlay of the graphics. And you can change
that. They added upgraded graphics. They still kept the regular graphics.
Right, exactly. So you can I think you press the back button at any time and you can switch back to the original way it looks, kind of like Monkey Island. Then you're going to get 7 multiplayer maps, which are remakes of there's one original remake of one Halo map, Halo 2 map, and there are 6 Halo 1 maps, you know, like, of course, like classic Beaver Creek. I mean, who can ever forget that map? So they're going to make those, and you're going to be able to import those map into Halo Reach if you have it. So that's going to be cool. You know, like I said, the co-op, you know, revamped, and they said that they did remake the campaign. They wouldn't give details. I was watching a presser with Jeff Keighley. He was trying to pull it out of Frank, but he wouldn't tell him which details they did. So I'm thinking they shortened that library scene out, and a lot of the backtracking.
Hoping they took backtracking out, because I've heard that was a big thing, and I hate backtracking.
Yeah, but some people have heard that already. Yeah,
like, I don't know if it was on maybe the giant Bombcast they were saying that, or it's like someone actually said that in an interview.
Oh, if they did, awesome, if they did that, that'll be great, because that'll push the story along a little bit further. And I think it's cool because for people who have never played Halo 1,
like me,
exactly, because a lot of times you'll get a recommendation from like a friend or something, you know, hey, go back and play this game, and they'll give it to you or whatever, and you'll go back and play it, you'll be like, you know what, these graphics are just, you know, now people can actually go back and not just play an HD overlay, but it's an actual remake, you know, with brand new RSS and everything in it, so you don't have that extreme disconnect from what you know as advanced stuff now. So, like, I think a person that just finished Halo Reach can jump right into Halo 1 and just keep going. I mean, if they so choose. So I thought that was cool. And, of course, the mother load at the end of the conference was Halo 4.
Are you worried at all that Halo 4 is coming out right after this Halo remake and it's the same people doing both?
No, because first and foremost, I'm a Halo fanboy, so I can't get enough of Halo anyway. But
I mean, I know you want it, but are you worried that it may lack in quality because it's coming out so soon after their, you know, this one Halo remake that the same team's working on?
I actually thought that when they first announced it, because honestly, I was telling you guys in you know, before E3 started, I didn't believe that they were going to bring out Halo 4 into the next console generation, which I believe is probably going to be in 2014. I didn't see a need for them to. Microsoft is making money hand over fist without the Halo franchise so far. I didn't think that they needed to do it, but I guess 343 had already been they had already been working on Halo 4 since the end of Halo 3. Actually, if you go back to a bunch of the old Frank O'Connor interviews and Comic Cons and everything, they had been working on this thing for Halo 3 came out when 2007. So, but I just don't think that they need to bring it out when they have people still playing Reach, people are still going to be playing the Anniversary Collection, people that haven't played it will, and things like that.
It's the new Call of Duty, one every year.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I didn't think that they actually needed to. I mean, Halo has proved that you can have a franchise that people love the universe, the story makes sense within the universe. It's like one of those rare games where everything in Halo makes sense. The universe, the characters, the storylines of each game is all canon, and it makes complete sense within the fiction within itself. And it has a magnificent multiplayer. So I don't think that they should have brought it out, but I'm not going to argue with them because I want to see what's happening with Master Chief. So I mean, you know, I'm terribly excited for. I did kind of feel like, oh, like why at first, but after it set in, hey, it's more Halo for me. I think that they should have called it something else rather than Halo 4 because it's supposed to be a new trilogy. Why would you call a new trilogy Halo 4, 5, 6? I don't know why they would do that. But
the original Star Wars trilogy was 4, 5, 6.
Yeah. Well, that was named after, like, you know, before it was named, it was just, you know, it was called A New Hope. And then, you know, Empire Strikes Back. He didn't name those 4, 5 and 6 until he knew he was going to make 1, 2 and 3. So, you know, go figure. But hey, like I said, it's more Halo for me. So I'm perfectly fine with it. I guess we'll talk about Sony.
Yeah, sure.
The Sony press conference started. I can't remember exactly how it started off. You guys remember how it started off? Oh, yeah. They got a lot of flack, including from me, about the little joke that he made and everything. But he did apologize to the developers, apologize to the fans. And he was like, well, I guess the press, you know, they have, you know, their stories and everything because of us. And so, you know, the joke's on us and everything and whatever. So past that, you know, I don't know what it is about. Like, I think Sony, they need to hire that guy. What's the guy's name? Mr. Cocaine or what was his name? Mr. Caffeine or whatever.
it was Mr. Cocaine.
They need to hire that. They need to hire that guy because I mean, like they're just not. They don't have the presenting prowess as like a Reggie Fils-Aimé or like a Peter Molyneux. You know, like they don't have, you know, that presence. I guess they just talk like this and here's the new stuff and everything, but. Really, out of the Sony press conference, the whole Kobe Bryant move thing, you can tell that move is just an afterthought for Sony. They don't care about the move anymore.
That's, like I said, it's gone the way of the PlayStation Eye.
Yeah. And see, that's what I think, because like the PlayStation didn't need move. Like all they need to do is just hype up what they already have. They already have a 6-axis controller with full rumble. Why not just use that? Because that's all Kobe did up there on the stage. He just pointed the freaking controller at the screen, and that was it. And, you know, move is an afterthought. And they showed some kind of sword and shield game, which was whatever. I'll just get to the good stuff. But the NGP, that price point flabbergasted me. That was impressive. Sony,
I knew it was going to be affordable.
Hey, exactly. You're right, because $249 is a perfect sweet spot for that unit. What they show with the Uncharted stuff and everything, like I said, this is another thing that's personally not for me, but it was a joy to see them at that price point, because people like my youngest brother, I know he'll probably get it, because I know that price point probably fits where he's at. He can trade in his PSP a couple games and get a brand new PSP. PS Vita, sorry. He can get a brand new PS Vita, have the latest games and everything. He can play it. I'm just curious to see what Nintendo is going to do now that price point has been kind of exemplified. And I'm kind of curious to see where these two, Nintendo and Sony, what they're going to do about the price point of their games. Because we've all talked about it, you know, Android market is getting more popular with games. Angry Birds, Plants vs. Zombies. They got Netflix recently. Of course, iPhone. They have the full iTunes app store and everything. They have multiple games that are actually playable. Fruit Ninja's coming to Xbox Live Arcade.
Connect support.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, and these games are costing at the most maybe about $7, and that's for a pretty, you know, nice, you know, expensive games. But I bought Dead Space, I bought Street Fighter 4, I bought Infinity Blade all for $1. You know, I mean, they had the recent X-Men arcade game come out for you know, the App Store for the iPhone for $3. So I'm kind of curious, like, are these console handheld makers still going to bring games out like Pilot Wing and, you know, Steel Diver and Monster Hunter Hunter Tri? Are these still going to be games that are $40 and $50 a pop for this handheld console? I think that they need to look at the mobile space. And when I say mobile, I mean like phones, Windows Phone 7, Android, you know.
Well, they're doing the PS Minis. They do have the PS Minis.
Yeah, exactly. But even the PS Minis, they're like, what, $15 or something like that?
I think they're $5.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a a lot better idea. And then, and hopefully with PlayStation Suite, they'll have more and more content that they can kind of push over, because they need to get Angry Birds on that thing. They need to get Hulu. They need to get Netflix. That device needs to be more than just a gaming device, because for a person like me, like, I think it's a cool, you know, device, but I just can't see myself dropping $250 to play a home console experience, what I believe to be a home console experience, because I know me. I played Ghost of Sparta. I played Killzone on PSP, and it made me want to go home and play the console version. I don't want to sit up for an hour.
You wouldn't want to play Uncharted or whatever at work for like an hour when you have free time or whatever, and then go home and transfer it, the content, onto your PS3 and then pick up where you left off. You wouldn't want to do stuff like that.
That's a cool feature,
because you said it gets you wanting to play it on the console, and you know they're having the integration where you're going to be able to transfer it over to play on the console. So
yeah, but I think the only game that they showed that actually did that was that game called Ruin. You know, that's the only game that they confirmed that actually is going to be able to do that. They need to add that feature in for every game. If they do that for every game, where I can transition smoothly from handheld console to main console, then that might be something that piques my interest. But it's just mobile gaming spaces. I'm good with my iPhone. I don't want to carry around two devices. That's why I say they need to get other developers and things like that on the plate and have those games that we love on these mobile devices. But I love the PS Vita. It looks good. It's a wonderful price point for the amount of tech that's in that thing. It's worth the price and more. Like, that thing should be $400, but it's not, because Sony bit the bullet and they were smart. The thing that I don't like about what they did, well, I guess I say I don't, but I do like it. They added party chat and game chat to their handheld device, and you can do it on PSP easily, so easily. But they didn't announce it for the PS3.
I'm thinking maybe they were going to announce it, but since the PSN, you know, hacking fiasco, they've had to postpone it, I'm assuming.
Oh, man. I just don't know.
Because I could see that being a huge problem for them, you know, since they had to rebuild it, they're having to... Because this doesn't come out. They got time, you know. They have time till this comes out. But I don't know. I'm hoping.
Hopefully they do. But, you know, and that's another thing. Like I think that they should have announced something. And this is the reason why I'm kind of skeptical of the whole PSN rebuilding thing. I don't think that they're going to spend the money to rebuild PSN. I think we're going to just have the same XMB that we have been having. Maybe add a couple little things here and there, but they're not going to be major things like party chat and things like that. We're going to have the same PSN. It's going to drag on until the next console gen, and then that'll be just it, because they didn't announce anything rebuilding. They haven't announced anything yet up until this point. So I just don't see the PSN being anything more than what it is. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But real that 3D quick. TV that they showed with the
monitor, yeah.
Yeah, the actual monitor. I guess we'll kind of get into that. That's the next thing they showed. That monitor was cool. Everybody knows my stance on 3D. I think it's a gimmick. I'm not really excited about the whole 3D thing. But if you can do couch co-op with two people on one system, and the individuals each can have their own screen visually, I think that that's awesome.
That's 3D technology.
Yeah, but... Wow!
Because your glasses are focused on just one of the images that's being produced, while your friend's is on the other image. That's just another useful way to use the 3D technology.
Yeah, well, I mean, in that use, it's kind of intriguing. But the screen is 30 inches.
Oh, this is just going to be a test. They're going to. Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, if they get behind it and they support the whole dual screen thing, that's what 3D could actually be used for, and that's cool. But again, you know, if they corrected their online space, they really wouldn't. You know, I mean, people play online now. I mean, the whole days of couch co-op thing is kind of cool, but just really getting decreased because of the online space. I think that the Uncharted demo was lackluster. They should have showed the Chateau or like more of the other stuff when they did the Uncharted demo. But, you know, like I said, and like many other people have said, and like I've said too, like my list of games really didn't change as far as my anticipated games that I'm going to actually get from now until the end of the year, because I already knew that I was getting Uncharted 3. I already knew I was getting Gears of War. I already knew I was getting Halo CE Remake and everything. Nothing really changed. Battlefield 3, I mean, they didn't really, like, across the board, nobody really showed anything that was, you know, that was really going to be something specific. So I guess Nintendo was like the next thing. I mean, just in my personal opinion, I thought Nintendo had the best showing. Just because my long days of being a Nintendo fanboy and, you know, the whole Zelda with the orchestra and everything, everybody thought that it was kind of silly. But I commend Miyamoto for having the attitude of just being excited. Like when you see him up there on stage and he's like super happy about just hearing sounds of Zelda being played by an orchestra and like him raising his hands and laughing and just having a good time on stage, like that makes you want to have a good time with those Nintendo franchises, and they have fun with their games. You can tell that that guy believes in what he's trying to sell you. Like,
oh yeah, that's the sound of money. He loves hearing that.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean that too. But they've made money. You know, talk about hand over fist. They've made money. You know, hand over foot, fist, nose, head, everything. So, I mean, but you can tell that Miyamoto loves what he creates. Like he actually believes in what he's creating. Like, I mean, this guy's on stage and he's like, I mean, he's like a big kid. And I thought that it was just so cool to see that, because last year he was kind of tame. You can tell that they kind of told him to kind of quiet that down a little bit. But this year he just went full on and they let him be Miyamoto. And I thought that was cool that the shackles just got released off him and he was able to be that free spirit. And I'm a Zelda fanboy, so automatically Zelda just got a thumbs up in my book. I wish that they would do something different with that franchise, and that's the biggest thing, is that Nintendo doesn't feel like they have to, because they don't have to, because people keep buying the franchises, because, you know, you have up-and-coming children, you have people that are experiencing Mario for the first time, Zelda for the first time, all this stuff for the first time, so they, you know, so, you know, hey. I guess one of the disappointments was the Mario 3 for the 3DS. Oh, I mean, I'm sorry, not Mario 3, but Mario 3 3DS was the reintroduction of the Tanuki suit. From what I remember on Super Mario 3 is that you could turn to stone and then the enemies would kind of walk by you. That was like a last resort if you're about to die or whatever, and you can use that as like a power. You can't do that on this game from what I've read. The only thing that you can do is a tailspin. You can't even fly with the suit. Like, that kind of defeats the purpose of having the raccoon suit.
I don't remember turning into stone.
Oh, yeah, that's – I've heard for people saying, like, oh, I press every button. I couldn't turn to stone.
I think all you had to do on the original system was hold the select button, and he would turn to stone. And then the enemies would kind of – like, I would use those when those turtles would kind of walk by and fly by you and everything, and it was too many of them. I would just turn to stone and wait till they fly by and keep walking, and I would, you know, fly, which you can't do.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know flying, you had to pick up speed.
Yeah, exactly. But you can't do it in this game. Like, it's so ridiculous. Like,
oh, that's a fail.
I mean, how cool would it be to have Mario fly and then.
Because getting to that bonus level or getting up top, you know, where those clouds are and getting those coins, and that was like the coolest thing.
That was the cool part. But I don't know if you guys noticed, but in that trailer that they showed for it, they had one of the Koopa kids. I can't remember the Koopa kid's name, but he had like a red shell and the ball head. So I think that they're going to bring the Koopa kids back. And that was kind of a nostalgic thing that I remember that was kind of cool. I guess the biggest thing was the Nintendo system. And there's many reports that have come out since then.
They didn't really show the system. They just showed the controller.
Yeah.
And that was the confusing part.
Yeah, I think Nintendo is going to bring that console out at $299. I think they're still going to make a profit just based up on the specs and everything. But in all honesty, I think that console should have came out two years ago. Honestly, I mean, because
it should be out right now. Actually,
right, exactly. I even think right now is too late, because I like the system. I like what they're doing with it. When that girl put that screen on the floor and she hit the golf ball off the screen on the floor, and you see how it transitioned to the screen, the television screen, that was cool. Like, that tech, just being able to do that with that technology is cool to me.
When he video chatted with the dog and he petted the dog.
Yeah. Man,
I'm actually making fun of that.
That was wild. But they did say that this will not be a mobile device. So I don't know if they released specs since
you have to be in your room. It has to be in the same room.
Right. Exactly. So I'm thinking it's going to be like a Wi-Fi streaming TV device. Maybe
it's
about
not
what
be Wi-Fi. It's got to be in the same room. Has to be in the same room. Can't be like in the Wi-Fi area.
Oh, what? It's like a line of sight or something?
It's got to be in the same room. Yes.
Wow, that's crazy.
Because I've made the point where, you know, it'd be cool if you could, you know, pick up where you left off when you're heading to the bathroom or whatever. Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy, man. Yeah. Well, I guess they didn't want it to compete with their 3DS, so they had to make it. You know, they had to kind of nerf it somehow, and the cost of that would probably have been, you know, a little bit more than what they expected to spend anyway, too. So, hey,
it
that's
is single novelty. Touch, not multi-touch.
Yeah, I mean, but
it's old technology, really.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but from what they exhibited when they said, you know, you play, we play, you know, everybody's able to play, and that's true, because think about this, you know, grandmother, granddad, you know, kids, you know, wife or whoever, I mean, I'm talking about the person that has no ergonomic hand gestures, that don't know how to figure out analog, who don't know the first thing about gaming. Like, they can sit there and they can hold a screen and they can pitch a ball by touching the screen where the pitcher's mitt is. You know, they can sit there and they can hold, you know, a screen, and they can be a referee for like a basketball game or whatever. They can do that. And I think that was really, really huge for allowing everybody to kind of get into it. Now, as far as the hardcore, they have come out and said, hey, you know, the footage that we showed was PS3 and 360 footage,
which is hilarious.
Yeah, I know. but during that conference, they had to do something. They had to let but I thought it was cool that they had third-party developers' games on the screen, at least saying that, hey, it's going to be here. But Nintendo always does that. We always get promises that, okay, Ubisoft is making something for us, and they're going to bring this to our console, but we don't know what it is. But just wait, you know? So, like, it's always like that with Nintendo. So I'm just curious here to see. But as far as the conference itself, I thought Nintendo had a really great showing. I mean, it's kind of hard to beat new hardware. I just think that the hardware is just too little, too late. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they've released even more specs, and like the graphics is a last gen Radeon.
Card. Yeah. See, I mean, we already said that. I mean, because there's no way Nintendo was going to lose money on a console. They've never did it, and they will not ever do it, because that's not the way they actually do things. I just think that because Microsoft, I mean, they're going to, it's now been reported that they're going to announce somebody from Crytek, I guess a trusted source. G4 and IGN has reported that Microsoft will announce their new console at E3 2012. How true that is, we don't know yet. I think it's not going to be until 2013 until they actually announce it, and it'll come out in 2014. But hey, I could be wrong. But it's going to be funny seeing Nintendo's console, because I don't think that they're going to get the hardcore back from this. I think the hardcore are smart. They're going to sit on what they have. They're going to play their PS3s and their 360s.
Definitely.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think that the casual is going to just automatically just go over there. Now, one thing that I did say, Nintendo had to put the Wii name in their next console, because they knew that the name Wii was synonymous with casual players. They had to put that Wii name in their console, and that was smart that they did that, and they kept it in there. So, I mean, hey, Wii U is just another upgrade. Hey, mom, dad, you can use your little nunchuck. You can use all your Wii games on this new console. No problem.
You can only use one Wii controller, I've heard.
Wow, that's crazy.
Only one connects to it.
No, because I saw a demo where it was like this Mario Party concept, like a Mario Racer or whatever, where it was like a hide and seek game, and the one person controlling the screen was like
me.
They were chasing that person around on the screen.
Yeah, you can.
Oh no, I saw somewhere
have up to five.
Yeah,
I saw somewhere where it said only one.
Here's what you probably heard: the Wii U is only going to come with one
controller.
Wii U.
Oh, I knew that. Yeah, one of the controllers,
and they're not selling them separately.
Yeah, so and they will not sell them separately.
Another Wii U controller, you have to have somebody else who has a Wii U come over to your house and bring the huge controller.
Yeah,
or maybe you can't even use two of those Wii U controllers. Maybe that's what I heard.
Yeah, and I think that's gonna hurt them too, because you know, I mean, kids. I have kids. I know many people in the chat like Ace, and I mean they have kids. What if the screen gets broken? You mean to tell me I'm gonna have to go and buy a whole other console or trade whatever I have left over?
Nintendo support.
You know, yeah, exactly. So I mean, are they gonna actually support that? Or are you gonna have to pay for another one? Or I mean, because that thing has to cost. I mean, even though it's not nothing major like an HD screen or nothing like that. I mean, that thing has to cost.
It's not really that much.
Gorilla Glass. Yeah.
I mean, I think it at least has to cost about $70 at least. I mean, because you figure
they would charge $70, but I don't think it cost them $70.
Yeah, I mean, but you figure, you know, a 360 controller is about $50. A PS3 controller is what, $55, $60. So, I mean, and that's just for a regular, you know, two button analog stick controller. You know what I'm saying? So, you only imagine what this screen controller is going to be. So, but you know, of just all the different conferences and everything, just the major conferences, I would probably give Microsoft a solid B. Microsoft, I mean, they showed me as a Kinect owner. I didn't even get into the whole Fable thing and everything. I know a lot of people have been ragging on it really, really hard, but I've said this before. I've said it in articles on the Geeks FGW before. I've said it on Tag. I've said it on podcasts. Like, I don't know what people want when they talk about immersion. Like, people say that pressing buttons on a controller is immersion. And I just don't see that as true, because you're still third hand. You're still controlling another person inside of a game. I mean, for me,
they want VR. That's what I want. That's really what they want. But no one is willing to take the risk. Actually, try VR.
Yeah.
Every
time we get something new, we rag on it. We complain about it, even when it doesn't affect you. Like, you know, we have people, you know, on Twitter and everything else or whatever. Like, if you don't have a Kinect, or if you don't have a Wii controller or whatever, how is it affecting you? It's not affecting you. Like, it's just getting more gamers into it that probably don't have the know-how or the hand-eye coordination to move a controller around. Like, it's okay. Like, all the games that are coming out, you're still getting Mass Effect, still getting Ghost Recon, still getting Gears. A lot of these games have Kinect integration, but it's not taking anything away from you as a hardcore gamer. You know, I mean, you're still getting the great franchises that are all coming out this season. So, I mean, but hey, I mean, me as a Kinect owner, like I said, I was very excited about it. You know, all the they showed everything, I give Microsoft a solid B. Sony, just the presentation of E3. The only thing that came out of Sony that was cool was that 3D television with the dual screens. I've shared my opinion multiple times about 3D. I think 3D is a gimmick, but that application in which they use 3D to do a double screen for couch co-op, that was cool. The PS Vita, huge with that price point. $249. I give Sony, you know, I give them a C+, because that's all I seen in that conference that was impressive. Like I said, Move is an afterthought, you know. It's just an afterthought. They're not doing anything with it. Nintendo, I'm sorry. I give them an A-. And the minus is because of details. We didn't get details at the conference. We still haven't got a lot of details on third parties and everything. But Nintendo showed games. They showed games that people played, you know, talked about as far as the 3DS and everything not having games. They showed franchises, you know, like Mario Kart, you know, the Mario that's coming out for the 3DS. They showed the new system. They showed the screen of the system. So that's why I'm giving them a minus. So I give Nintendo an A- because all we saw was the controller. We still haven't seen a whole lot of the system in recent reports. So I guess that's my E3 opinions. And for Ubisoft and EA and everything, I mean, they're good conferences and everything. I'm not going to make jokes about, you know, the accents and everything. I mean, they, you know, they are what they are. I mean, it was good.
Mr. Big Shot rating the conferences. we didn't rate them.
I didn't even know.
We did on OFR.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. On the Skype cast.
Mm-hmm.
Did we?
I did.
I don't remember. but yeah, we didn't rate them on our show. I made sure we didn't on purpose because I'm kind of tired of people, you know, rating, oh, this is better than this. Oh, well, it's just opinions. I mean, it's not really, I don't know. Yeah. It's all crazy. But yeah, definitely it's going to be crazy coming up in gaming, and just I'm just going to take it one week at a time, each new release.
Speaking of release.
Yeah. I guess Duke Nukem officially came out today, and I've seen tons of people play it, or I've seen a couple people play it, and Gamefly is sending it to me.
Man, these games keep sneaking up on me. I remember Child of Eden, but man, I didn't know Duke was already. I thought that they had pushed it back another month.
No, well, they did, but it came out. Oh, that month was this month. But Gamefly sent it to me. I don't have it yet. It's in the mail, but and I didn't even have it in my queue. You know, I had Child of Eden in my queue, and now I'm really upset.
That's crazy. That was the only one you had in your queue.
The only one that was coming out, I had, like, I think Arkham City, but that doesn't come out, and right, other exactly, stuff that yeah. don't come out for a while. But yeah, so I guess
Duke wasn't even in your queue.
Yeah, so I guess Redbox, doesn't that start tomorrow?
I found that really, really funny.
I tweeted it.
Because I'm like,
oh. I tweeted it when it happened, like, yesterday.
I missed it then, because
I mean.
Like, they can't, like, nobody leaves this games out, so they're just going to send it to people.
I know.
I mean, it's in nobody's queue. Like, just going to send it out.
Yeah, but I don't know why it's on the topic. Have you been playing it, Stuart?
This game has been in development since 1997.
Yeah, but we don't have
it finally out.
It, yeah, but that's about it.
It sucks.
It does?
I mean, seriously, I mean, did anybody think that it was going to really be this bang out title? It like, I sucks. Mean,
have you tried it?
I have seen about 20 minutes of somebody playing it.
Then you haven't tried
that's
it.
That's all so. I need. I don't know. That's I don't need any more. I don't need any more than what I saw.
See,
it was terrible.
Yeah, I don't know. Wait,
tomorrow, when you get in the mail, you tell me it's not bad.
Okay, I'll give you my honest opinion tomorrow, whether it is good or not. I didn't expect it to be, you know, the next, you know, game of the year, but I didn't expect it to be terrible. And I don't know. I expected it to be silly, fun, shut off your brain, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't remember too much of Duke Nukem. I remember playing it, blowing stuff up, and stripper poles, but that's about it. Like, I don't, I mean,
it's the same stuff.
I mean, I just, okay, what is the deal with this franchise? Like, I mean, you just look at this franchise and like, man, this franchise, it just will not die. I mean,
yeah,
you know, and then you kind of figure like, my brother was born in 1990. I mean, so, you know, I got a younger brother that's younger than that. Like the people that remember Duke Nukem are either grown with kids or disconnected or either the diehard fans that remember everything about Duke. But I don't think that there's an audience for Duke Nukem anymore because like all the jokes.
No, there's not.
Yeah, because like, I mean, they modeled the character after, you know, Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger. They gave him his jacket and yeah, exactly. Like that character is a conglomeration of every action hero since the last 15 years. Like, but nobody today kind of gets that lore of it. Like, you know, like that because the audience has grown up. The audience has kind of moved on. So to kind of bring this game out now, I guess it's kind of cool that it kind of came out finally because of all the work they've kind of put in and all the money and everything. But I just don't know if they're trying to just bring this game out to let it be out and be done, or if they're trying to reinvigorate this franchise, because if they're trying to do the latter, I don't think it's not going
to
work.
Yeah, but no, I do have to say. Go ahead.
If you read the reviews online, they all kind of say the same thing. You know, like this was made years ago, and you can tell it was written and made years ago, and it's just been a brand new coat of paint has been put on it.
Well, that's what Gearbox said.
Everything has made it work.
They said that they just want, they were just trying to, you know, tweak it as best they could and get it out so that then they can make the Duke Nukem game that they want to make. Which once they, you know, start making one from, you know, from the beginning, from scratch, you know, the, then I'll be really excited because Gearbox, I love Gearbox. Borderlands has definitely made me a fanboy.
Gearbox really didn't even do much with it themselves. They just kind of put money behind it and actually contracted out to somebody else.
Yeah.
And I watched the quick look of Giant Bomb, and every time Duke said something, me and Ryan Davis, we made the same groan. Oh, God. Because it was just a terrible, terrible joke. Like, it just wasn't funny. It was all about boobs and stuff that, you know.
You have to turn your brain off.
You'd have to go into a coma in order to find that stuff funny.
Oh, you guys.
Wow. But
like there was actually a scene that they were showing. Like, there was, like, an alien tits on the wall, and Duke was just hitting them. And, like saying, like, got milk. Like, what the fuck?
Really? That's funny. That's funny.
No, it's not. Yes. That's not funny at all.
Now, what are you laughing at, Henry? Are you laughing at what he said? Or
yeah, no, I'm sorry. That's funny. I'll curse
you. That's funny, yeah. I don't know. Maybe you're just too critical and cynical, Stuart. I don't know, but you know, you haven't played it, so I'm not taking your opinion.
I don't want to play it.
Well, good.
After seeing that video, I don't want to play it at all.
I'm going to be playing.
It just kind of makes me, you know, like maybe this game should not have just stayed vaporware and just should not have come out.
Okay. Well,
I don't see Gearbox trying to make this franchise and trying to make it something that it's actually not. I think they just had a passion for this game and they wanted to see it come. They bought it, they farmed it out, they finished it. Now they can move on to Borderlands 2. And I think they say, "Well, that's what everybody's waiting on."
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I am too. But I do have to say, most likely, I'll probably enjoy Duke Nukem better than Brink. And with
here we go. Hey,
the only thing
all I gotta say is all I gotta say is Brink was the number two selling game in the month of May. In the month of May, so we will be getting a sequel.
That doesn't mean anything because the month of May. I don't know if you saw Deshane tweet about it. He said this May has been the worst video game sales since like 2006. So, hey, you know, the best of the worst is not really that great.
All I'm saying is that L.A. Noire was on top. Brink was right behind him.
Yeah.
Nobody thought that it was going to succeed and do anything. So,
well, the best of the worst is not really all too great, though.
I would like for games like that. I think that May is a perfect time because it's right before summer. I would have thought that maybe Alan Wake would have, you know, benefited from like a, you know, a May like this, because I mean, you got brand new good franchises that come out despite the reviews, despite whatever.
It's right before summer though, too. That's, you know, people are hurrying to finish up with school and stuff like that. They don't got time to play games as much.
Well, some people,
I think, but it only sold it only made 400,000, I think, either copies or dollars. I don't know.
It's better than Alan Wake.
Yeah. But I mean, it by far it didn't. You know, it's not, you know, million copies sold or anything like that. That, you know, once you reach a million, that's when you know your game's done pretty well.
Well, not necessarily, because look at Homefront. Homefront sold 1.5 million, and they're closing down the studio.
Yeah, so. I guess. I don't know. Homefront was just a fluke.
but that proves. You can put any multiplayer shooter out there and it'll sell a million. Medal of Honor did it. Homefront did it. Telling you. But we digress.
The only thing I have to say about Duke is this.
It's time to kick ass and chew bubble gum. And I'm all out of gum.
All right. That's enough of Duke.
Wow. And you've been looking for long. Yes. Haven't you? Wow. That's the whole reason why you want to talk about it.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. So what's going to be the next topic? Are we skipping the hacking talk or?
I think with the hacks, with the how the hacks, like every day you hear about five new companies that have gotten hacked. And I'm just, is it
tired
really
of talking
that fun
about it
still?
I'm tired of talking about it. Honestly, I don't think we should even give them our attention.
No, okay, got that. That's
so. What Windows 8? You put this up, Stuart. What's so great about Windows 8 that you wanted to talk about?
I just wanted to talk about some of the features of Windows 8. I thought they were kind of cool.
Okay, then what did you think was cool about it?
I gotta open up the thing so I can see the list.
Yeah, I was looking at it was an article earlier when they were talking about how the developers, I guess the people who are going to be working on Windows 8 were not really complaining, but they were kind of trying to find more information and try to ask Microsoft how they would be able to work on this thing, because this thing is different than, I guess, from what the article was kind of saying. This Windows 8 is a little bit different than what anybody has ever worked on with any Windows platform before. They say a lot of the coding is a little bit different. A lot of the things that you input, that you do creation tools and everything, have totally changed, and it's kind of freaking, you know, developers out that's going to be developing, you know, stuff for Windows 8 on this software, because, you know, I mean, the whole UI has changed. Like, it basically looks like, you know, Windows Phone 7 mixed with Xbox Live, pretty much. I mean, they have the same square board. You know, I think it's terribly simplistic and easy to use. Like, I think it's going to be awesome rather than having icons. But I'm pretty sure they're going to have, you know, some type of option where you can go classic mode or go Windows 8 mode.
Oh yeah.
I think it looks cool though. I mean, I think it looks awesome. I mean, it's real simplistic, user friendly. Everything is in one place. You know, so
yeah.
Both Windows 8 and Lion is like they're doing the same thing. They are matching their desktop interfaces that match their mobile device desktops.
And that's where everything is going. Is everything's going to that type of, you know, OS is, you know, the apps, the simple apps and all that. I mean, all that stuff, because, you know, it's just so big on the. It's so simple and so huge on smartphones. They're just porting it. It seems like everyone's porting it over to their OS, their computer
Windows 8
OS.
Is going to have an app store, and the screenshot that I saw, it had Angry Birds on there. So,
well, Angry Birds is on everything. I mean, they've had Angry Birds on. They got Angry Birds on Google Chrome.
Yeah, you can get a free version on Google Chrome if you just download it.
The Intel App Store, you know.
Yeah, I think what'll make Windows 8 kind of the telling is if they bring out like a Windows Phone 7, 8, or a Windows Phone 8 or whatever, and
remote
by
login.
That time, yeah, basically, yeah. I mean, William's going exactly where I'm going to. Basically, you know, you log in to that feature, and that logs you in across Xbox Live, logs you in across Windows, you know, Games for Life's Windows. On the PC, and everything's total integration. And also, if I'm logged onto Live and I'm playing, what's the game they had on Windows 7? Ilo Milo, and I want to play it on my PC, I get a free download code to download on my PC, seamlessly play it from there to there. Achievement, gamer score, everything transfers over seamlessly, and everything's from feature to feature, from tech to tech, to different game to game. It's all complete integration from PC to tablet to phone to Xbox. Yeah. You know, I think that'll be, you know, a really huge and cool feature.
I want to see easily being able to control your PC from your like Windows Phone or, you know, Windows tablet or whatever, being
right,
you know, actual remote desktop, you know.
Yeah. Or if you can just, you know, I mean, I really don't have to control it, but if I can do what I can do over Xbox Live with the Windows Media Center stuff, but give me more control, like if I want to pull up a movie and I want to run a search while my movie is playing, or if I want to have my Twitter going while my, you know, while my music is playing, I want to be able to do that seamlessly between different products. I think that's the next step in all this stuff, really. I mean, not just Windows.
Oh, that's what I said they need to do with the, like, with Xbox, is they need to have the multitasking.
Yeah. Where
everything is easily able to do, but that's neither here nor there. What features, Stuart?
the one that I really like, well, I mean, controlling the desktop with another device, that is going to be part of Windows 8.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yes. It's like it's at the bottom of the list. But it's there. I play a lot of PC games, and you know, some of them, you know, you have to have the disc for. Well, there's going to be, and you know, you could get, you know, something like, you know, Damien or something like that to, you know, have an ISO to mount it onto a virtual drive and boot it that way. Well, this is going to come with an ISO mounting device where you can just burn the disc, burn the image of the disc to your PC and just be completely diskless. And I think that's really cool.
That's pretty cool.
So they're going to have like a code system, much like they have with like the Windows software, where you can use this on, you know, two or three different PCs, because you know what that's going to bring. That's going to bring, you know, I guess the mindset of piracy, you know. I mean, they already have a hard time, you know, stopping it, which they really can't, but, you know.
Yeah.
Do you think that'll be a factor, or do you think they'll just be like willy-nilly with it and they'll just let it just be open?
Like, I think that they're getting this out there so then you don't get the, you know, the user stuff, like the user applications that are going to show up on the store. You know, they're going to beat them to the punch so then they can maybe control it a bit better.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really say.
Personally, I think it's too soon for another Windows platform. I think they need to just sit on it. When are they supposedly thinking about bringing this thing out?
I don't know. It still seems...
It's just concept?
I think next year they said something. I heard something.
Man, that's fast, man. When did Windows 7 come out? Last year?
2009?
Man, that still seems like that's real fast, though. That seems real quick.
3 years, yeah. It does, but I mean... And Windows 7 is really good. I can see why they jumped from Vista to, you know...
Vista was
just garbage, but... and there are still people who are using Vista. I don't know how they can do that. But, I don't see a need. But, you know, I guess they see a need in order to, you know, integrate all their different stuff.
Well, it's got Kinect support. It's got facial recognition, so you can just log sit in. Down in front of your computer and log in that way.
Okay, have announced that you will be able to use the Kinect with this new platform.
Yes, or any other webcam. It doesn't have to be Kinect.
Oh, but, well, they need to upgrade that Kinect software with some type of new update, because I use Video Kinect. Sometimes I talk to different relatives and. I have a brother-in-law that lives in New Mexico. We use it a couple times, and I have a cousin. And the refresh rate on that webcam is not all that great.
Yeah. Ooh, pattern login too, like on Android. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
It's also got something called Vault History. It's like you're working on, you know, a Word document. And you go to click something, and you accidentally click save. I don't know how many times I've done this. Like, I do not want to save that at all.
Yeah, exactly.
And well, this will allow you to go back through every single iteration of that document or whatever else, and pick out what you want.
Oh, that's cool. They need to have a feature where you can clean all that stuff out too, where you can permanently delete it if you want to, because that stuff will make your system lag.
Oh yeah, I'm sure there will be. See, cloud-based roaming profiles.
So, oh yeah, we knew that's coming. It's already coming. Yeah, it's gonna be on Xbox Live. That's one thing I don't know if you guys talked about it last show, but cloud. I think everything's going in the cloud. I think it's cool. especially with the amount of information stuff and everything. I think it's cool to have the stuff on Windows 8.
Yeah, but it scares the crap out of me because with all these hackers, you know, all they got to do is just, you know, hack into it, shut the system down, and then we're fucked.
Back in the Stone Age.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So I'm still going to have everything. I'm still going to back up everything I can on something.
Hard drive, physical media, something.
Here's something I like. They replaced the blue screen of death. It's now a black screen of death.
I guess that's better.
Yeah. I like that.
All right.
Why does it got to be black, though? anything else interesting?
It's more friendly. That's what it says. And that's in quotes.
I guess. I don't know.
All they have to do is hire the British girl from Skype because they own her now. And
they own her. Yeah. They have her locked up in some dungeon.
She'll be the natural voice for Windows 8.
Oh, that'd be so.
I'm okay with that.
Funny. Yeah. Anything else?
You log on. Welcome to Windows 8. Cool.
This log on is being recorded.
That's Pamela.
Oh yeah, that's right. We don't like her.
No, I.
No, we do love. We love her. We love her. Hopefully, she doesn't.
Yes,
she doesn't.
Yes, yeah. Totally.
But yeah. Is that it though? Any more features?
Yeah, that's really all I got right now.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested.
Maybe instead of Windows 8, they could have been Windows 7.5.
They would never do Windows 7.5 because then why not just give us an update, you know, service
pad? I didn't say it was going to be, you know, 7.5 would be paid for. But, I mean, it just seems like maybe, you know, I mean, yeah, all this stuff is big, but I don't know, looking at that screenshots, it just looks like a cleaned up Windows 7. Like, you know, they redid the task manager. They the restart system works differently. You got another modern, see, it says modern reader in quotes for PDFs.
Yeah, definitely interesting. Well, it's not coming out this year, so we don't have to worry about it too much. I guess next we got our I recommend section. And this week is my week.
You got all happy.
I am happy because I love this movie. This week I picked the original The Crow, the one with Brandon Lee. And I, like I said in a post, you know, I want to make sure people didn't watch one of the sequels because those are god awful, and I would not want to be responsible for anyone watching those sequels. But I've been wanting to talk about The Crow like ever since we started podcasting like over a year ago. And Stuart, I know you never saw it until recently. I hope you
saw one of those god awful sequels you were talking about. That's
yeah, and
that was my previous Crow experience.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a shame because this was the one. This is the movie where Brandon Lee, you know, got killed or murdered or died or what, you know, by accident or by on purpose. No one knows. It's the whole, you know, rumors of, you know, the Chinese mafia or whatever, just like with Bruce Lee. Or
yeah, his death was probably as mysterious as his father's. You know, they say he
it was a real gun. No, it was a prop gun.
Yeah, that
was set up, you know, that was faulty, malfunctioned, and there's so many different rumors.
He died in the making of this movie?
Yeah,
and they almost didn't release it because of it.
Wow, yeah. I did not know that. I know nothing other than just now watching it.
Yeah, and the little girl who played Sarah in the movie, she, because, you know, he died and she witnessed it, she's never acted. I don't think she's ever acted. She does something else.
Man, that was her, crazy.
Like, first and last movie she did. because that was just too traumatic for her. But I love this movie. It's just it's just got a feel to it that I it's a cult, definitely a cult classic. I mean, you go into tons of like you walk in a Hot Topic, for instance, and you just see it everywhere. You walk into I've gone into Hastings, which is, and I've just seen it everywhere. I mean, it's just one of those films that's with like Nightmare Before Christmas and stuff like that, that and Edward Scissorhands that are just have become instant cult classics. And actually, Stuart, what did you think of it? I'm really curious.
I actually really liked it. I thought it was really good.
Really? I'm glad to hear that.
Like, other than a couple of special effects, I think it holds up to today. I think it aged really well.
And I think that the whole reason to that is because it's such a dark setting, and that you don't see as much of the you don't see as much of the, like, it was made in the 90s. It doesn't really have that much of a feel to it because it's in a dark setting. The whole town is, you know, basically corrupt and, you know, vandalism everywhere. So it's not, you know, it's not going to look like, you know, it's not going to look anything special, fantastic. I mean, the whole town.
I think the only part I was, other than, you know, a couple of the rooftop scenes that I was like, oh, this wasn't made right. Like, this wasn't made modern day. Was the scene where he's getting his look and that music that's playing over it. That was totally late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, but it was really an awesome scene, I thought. I love that song. It's got an amazing soundtrack, actually. I mean, if you ever look at some of the stuff in some of the songs in the soundtrack, it's really good. I actually purchased the soundtrack because, you know, that song, the Nine Inch Nails song when he's fighting them and, you know, towards the end.
That was good. That was good. That one song, I was like, that kind of pulled me out of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost 20. It's like, what, 18 years old, I think?
1994.
It came out in 90. It was made in 93. It came out in 93, I think.
According to Netflix, it was 94. Say that. Okay. That's what I think I saw.
Okay. I don't know. Either it was made in 93 or I don't know. I just remember 93. I don't have my web browser up, so I can't check that. But, yeah, definitely. With Henry, have you ever seen The Crow before?
Yeah, I've seen The Crow before. He used to come on TV all the time when I was younger. I just remember, a little bit of the storyline, but I remember, like, all the different details of the movie. I didn't get a chance to actually watch it. But from what I remember, I mean, it's a good movie. I mean, you know, it is tragic that this movie was kind of like, you know, his, you know, it, you know, the last movie that Brandon Lee made.
It was like The Dark Knight and Heath Ledger before.
Because
that's what I was thinking during the entire thing. I was like, this guy should have been Joker instead of Jack.
Oh, he would have made it. Yeah, he would have been awesome.
Yeah.
But you know, it's the same thing. You know, he died right when, you know, his career was about to explode.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this movie, and there's just a lot of things I like about this movie. It did take the, like I said, they almost didn't come out because, you know, he died, and they were trying to get the family to approve to let them finish it, and they had to reshoot, like, I guess a couple scenes with a stunt double or whatever.
Yeah, it was a double. Yeah.
I mean, the scene where he gets shot, like, the first time was the last scene where he got shot, and it's pretty crazy. But the sequels are crap. The TV series, that's on Instant Watch, I think. That's not too bad. Honestly, it's actually got the
Isn't there a comic book?
It was a comic book. Yes. It was a comic book before it was a movie.
Okay.
So, and comic book's pretty good. I own it, of course. But definitely glad it came to Instant Watch, because that means I can watch it whenever I want without having to find my disc and put it in and do all that stuff. That's just my laziness. Just like Henry with buying Halo on demand, not having to put that in.
I finally bought my first on-demand game this week.
Oh, really? Real quick, yes. What was it?
Battlefield Bad Company 2.
Oh, okay.
That's interesting. How much?
$30.
That's not too bad.
Was that the game of the year, or was that the stuff with all the stuff in it, or just regular?
No. It was a regular. I had to buy the VIP pass.
Damn.
So that was another $8. Or however.
And all the extra bonus content?
I haven't gotten any of that yet.
Because I think you can get it for like $30 or $40, the disc, like the Game of the Year. But anyways, tangenting. Yeah, definitely love this movie. I'm kind of upset that Fadios wanted to come on, but he just, I guess he... yesterday or today just wasn't good for him, because he's a big fan of this movie as well. And but I'm glad to hear that you liked it, Stuart. I was kind of afraid that you weren't gonna like it, because I wasn't sure how well it would hold up to someone watching it, you know, almost 20 years later.
It held up really well.
I'm definitely glad to hear that. And I what did you think of the what was it called, the whole brother sister scene, the incest thing?
It was gross. I mean, yeah, she was hot, but it was still gross, and she was a little, she wasn't quite there.
Yeah, definitely. It seemed gross, but it was so creepy. I think it fit in perfectly with the role of the evil guy, the what's his name, Top Dollar, I think. But yeah,
I kept thinking of the guy from he was the guy from Robin Hood, like he played I think he did.
Yeah, but definitely love that movie, and I highly recommend it. You know, all of us say it's a good movie, so you should definitely check it out. The original, not any of the sequels.
Yes. The original.
Definitely not any of the sequels. I mean, and one of the sequels, I thought it was going to be really cool, because it had the guy from who played Angel from Angel and Buffy. They had him in it, but even he couldn't make it good.
See, the one I saw before was the kid who played John Connor in Judgment Day. When he played the Crow.
Yeah.
That was the one I saw, and that was weird. That was really weird.
I can't think of the name of that.
I remember something about going to hell and needing the powers of the Crow.
Wicked Prayer?
Sure.
That's the one with the guy who played Angel. It's the one with Tara Reid?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one with the guy from Angel. That, you know, even he couldn't save it, which, you know, he's great in everything else, you know, Angel, Buffy, Bones.
But he wasn't the Crow.
No, he was the evil guy, the crazy guy. But anyways, yeah, check it out. Links will be in the show notes, of course. And time for the geek question of the week, Stuart.
Yes, this week's geek question of the week was... instead of a first-person shooter, what other genre would you like to see a first-person of? Because I think we're getting a little first-person shooter fatigued, especially after E3.
Yeah, I played Call of Duty all weekend long, so.
And I played Battlefield, so.
And I didn't even play Zombies at all this weekend, so that was something weird. But I don't know, first-person Tetris.
You know what? When I was looking for images, I typed that in, and there were images.
Oh, really?
But they were just of somebody playing Tetris.
Oh. But that'd be kind of cool. I did
think of that one.
Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know what they could do first person that they haven't done already.
You got games like Mirror's Edge. I mean, Mirror's Edge pretty much covers a myriad of different things that you can do with first person. Yeah.
And Portal, you know, puzzle, first person puzzle.
BioShock.
What I want to see more. I mean, I haven't seen any of these in a long time, you know, since, you know, early 90s. But I want to see more of, like, Myst and, like, Seventh Guest. Like, that kind of first-person stuff.
Yeah, but how would you play that in first-person, though?
Well, it's already in first-person. I mean, you never see, like, any part of the body. You just see, you know, it was already in first-person.
Oh, I think I'm thinking about the wrong game. I was thinking about Thief.
Okay. I don't know either. So
remember Thief for PC?
No, sorry, I got nothing.
I don't know, but
did any of you guys ever play Myst or Seventh Guest or Eleventh Hour or?
I've seen Myst, but I never played it before.
I've heard of Myst, but I've never played it.
Oh. Seventh Guest and 11th Hour. Those were creepy. Because they were, because they had MFVs, and it was super creepy.
Yeah, I don't know. First person Street Fighter, maybe. I don't know. That'd be so weird.
First person Dragon Ball.
Already been done. They had two arcade games.
Are you talking about Dragon Ball or Street Fighter?
No, Dragon Ball Z. They had two arcade games back in the day. Yeah, it was called like
first person.
Yeah, it was in first person. It was called Dragon Ball. What was it? Basically, when you look at the arcade screen, the only thing that you could see was your arms and a little bit of your chest area, and it was strictly a flying game, a flying and shooting and fighting game.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I never played that.
It was a long time ago. I think it was like in 90. Man, it had to be. I think my brother was 3 years old, so it had to be like 93 or 94 when that thing came out. But it never came out on like a console. It was always on an arcade unit.
That explains it. But yeah, do we got any feedback, Stuart? Or
yes,
more answers.
We got one from Twitter. Hoping the guys in chat will chime in anytime.
Somebody was late to post the question.
Yeah, because I really forgot. Hey, normal show. Let's see. Paradise 5551 said first person guitar hero.
First person guitar hero?
How would that work?
I don't know. I guess you'd see from the eyes of the guitarist to the crowd that you're playing to.
But how would you see the note to press them?
I guess you could do it'd first person be like Raven notes.
Guitar Hero, just I don't know. That's just what he said.
That doesn't make sense. I'm sorry, whoever that is, but that just doesn't make sense. If they can make it, then yeah, awesome. But I don't know. Anyone in the chat saying anything?
First person basketball says Ace.
Well, that could be interesting.
Didn't one of the Maddens go first person?
You're asking the wrong person. I think the last Madden.
It wasn't Madden. What's the other one?
2K.
2K. Yeah. 2K. 2K5 did. I remember one sports game going first person. So,
okay, that could be interesting. Any others?
First person Assassin's Creed. That'd be kind of cool.
I'm sure a lot of people like that, and I'm sure they've got that in, you know, they've got that jotted down somewhere. Any others? I don't have the chat up.
Nope.
Already.
Nope. I'm kind of surprised because out of the entire show, Cerebral Shrike decides to be quiet now.
Ooh, damn.
I know, right?
Can't believe you're gonna put one of our listeners on blast like that. Come on now, Stuart.
Oh, I am. Yeah. Well, he's been doing it to me the entire show in the chat. So.
Well, in his defense, Casual Vampires is pretty cool.
This isn't the first time he's attacked me, though. So.
I know. I've seen it on Twitter. But okay, I guess that's basically our show. Unless any of you have anything else that you want to talk about.
Yeah, I actually found that that first person Dragon Ball Z game.
Yeah,
I just put in the chat on the chat. It actually wasn't first person, but I know there was a sequel to this game that I'm putting in the chat. It was called Dragon Ball Z VRVS. I don't know what that stands for, but it was it was perfect. It was in 94 because I remember playing that on an arcade cabinet, and it was just head to head fighting, and it was first person. That could actually be a Kinect game.
That'd be cool. Yeah,
they're still making the Dragon Ball games, though. The Dragon Ball Z games, even though none of them have been good since, I don't know.
I think that's the only franchise that would just never die, because the TV series was so good and like it just carries so much weight.
And they're still airing it, aren't they?
Yeah, like, still
redone, better graphics.
It's called Dragon Ball Z Kai, and what they did was they took out all the needless talking and all the little filler episodes. They took all that crap out and they kind of slimmed it down, and they updated it with HD So,
mm-hmm.
but they've remade the series like three or four times. I mean, I don't know why. People just keep watching. I mean, even I get these nostalgic moments where I want to go back and watch an episode of it or something like that.
I'm waiting for it to come on Instant Watch.
Oh yeah,
that would be huge. Because I can look in my room and I've got like almost the entire series on VHS tapes, like actual bought from the store. I was a huge fan of that show.
Yeah, I gave all mine to my brother, but I got the entire series on the download vids. So I got them all stacked in one folder, and I got a backup. So,
oh, that's cool. What were you gonna say, Stuart?
I was gonna say I walk by my movie shelf, and every now and then I will see the only three Dragon Ball Z tapes I own is the Saiyan Saga. Not the Saiyan, the Super Saiyan. Saiyaman. There we go. That's it. The Saiyaman Saga.
Really? Why that one?
I liked the Saiyaman Saga. I did. I really did.
Are you serious?
I really liked Gohan going to high school. I thought that was cool.
Yeah,
that was the worst saga of the whole series. Are you kidding me?
I know. I really liked it.
Isn't the other world tournament part of that too? That part was cool.
Goku versus
PyCon and all that.
Yeah, that saved
stuff.
That was awesome.
But then once he went to high school, it's like, eh.
Yeah, that was just like filler stuff or whatever. I think the best saga to me was the Frieza saga. And I say that because that was the first time you got to actually see a Super Saiyan in Goku, and it was the first time. Because like but before then we had the scouters and everything, and people's powers were
over 9,000,
a thousand, over 8,000, and then when you got Frieza, it was like his power level is a million. It's like, oh my god, it's a million.
Yeah,
like we were freaking out when we saw Frieza
saga,
man.
And the Cell games.
Yeah, Cell games was pretty cool.
You saw Gohan, his unleashed potential and all that. I like that stuff. Gohan was an awesome kid. When he was a kid, he was awesome.
Yeah, and see the cool thing about that saga is that was the first time you got to hear Goku say the words "I quit." Like that's unheard of. Like Goku never quit.
That was a big shocker.
When the episode ended, he's like, "I quit." Everybody's like, "What? What?"
Yeah, it's like does not compute.
I know.
But damn, we could keep on talking about this for hours. I know I could. I guess if you want to hear us talk about, you know, Dragon Ball Z more, you know, you can send us feedback and let us know. Let us know what you think about it or any of the other stuff we've talked about. You know, send us feedback on Twitter or Facebook. Just search The Geeks FTW. Email us at thegeeksftw@gmail.com. iTunes reviews, you know, we appreciate those, of course. They bump us up, you know, to a little bit higher each time we get a review. At least I like to think that. So people can see us, you know, get to see us sooner when they're looking through whatever they're looking through. Whatever categories we're up on, I forgot which ones we're on, but voice line 1347 Geek FTW 1347-433-5389, and you know all this stuff is going to be on the in the show notes. I post it every week, so there's no excuse for you not to leave us feedback. It's just you're lazy or you don't care. But Android app, of course, and our iPhone app is coming out really soon. Really soon. I don't have a date yet, but I know it's coming soon. And I'm excited for that. And, of course, Ustream. We're on Ustream. It took us a while to get us, you know, started on Ustream. Well, we were on Ustream, but it took us a while to get us recording because technical difficulties. But if you want to sit through that and listen to us live and hear the bonus content that's on the Android app, you know, come check us out. And I guess with that, shout outs. Henry, shout outs.
You guys there?
Yeah. Shout outs, Henry.
Okay. Man,
had me
just
worried
like to
for
give a
second.
Shout out. First and foremost, man, to the Dallas Mavericks, man, for being
lucky
NBA champions. Right now, I mean, it's the first time in franchise history, man. I knew they were going to pull it out, kept the faith in them. And hey, Dirk got vindication over the 2006 finals that they lost. And I'm just happy, man. Just shout out to everybody at the Geeks FTW, all the writers, Elf, Dark DJ, just everybody extended that helps us out all the time, Cookie. Shout out to everybody, OFR, GGR, PGR, Tag, and everybody cross-pollinate. Shout out to Rashani, who's been listening to the show. Shout out to Indifference. I've been listening to their show, Game Enthused. I don't know, man. Just shout out to everybody, man, doing this podcast and stuff. Shout out to the world.
Alrighty. And I guess it's glad to see at least one Dallas team is doing well.
Yes, sir. We needed something, baby. Oh man. And shout down to everybody at work that's gonna call in on Thursday to go to the Mavericks parade because I know who you are, and yeah.
Stuart, shout outs.
I'm gonna ditto everything. Knox says, shout out to Ace and I guess for Evil Strike because, you know, they've both been here since, you know, since we started, not even recording since we got on Ustream. Shout out to the guys over at Giant Bomb because they did like almost 30 hours of E3 coverage in podcasts. And
you listened to all of it.
I did. I listened to all of it.
Fanboy.
I didn't get done to like, you know, maybe Sunday, but I still listened to all of it. You can be started on Giant Bomb. Oof. Love those guys.
They have some pretty good coverage, though. Sometimes they can be long. Well, I can't talk about being long-winded. Cause look at us, but but yeah. Sometimes, you know, but yeah, they put out some good E3 content.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
Alrighty. I guess, you know, shout out, of course, to the people who have been writing recently. Stuart, shocker.
Woohoo! My yearly article is out.
Yeah, man, shout out to William, man. He's been chugging along in his articles, man. He's been getting it done, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to inspire people, and it looks like I am, because we got, you know, Stuart, Elf, Cookie, Paul posted his first article.
Yeah, that was cool.
So, you know, it seems like everyone's starting to write now. DJ is on vacation, I think.
Just wait until I get a new computer, and we'll actually have video stuff on the site, so.
Yeah, and you tweeted that, and I retweeted it, so you couldn't delete it. So, yeah. It's on my Twitter account, so yeah.
It might not be for a year or so, but once it happens, that video.
Yeah. I guess what else? Yeah, I guess shout outs to the Mavericks. You know, they played a good game, even though I don't like Nowitzki. You know, I don't like him, but you know, they
why don't you like Dirk? Dirk is the most humble player in the league. He's not flashing the pan. He's not, you know, he's humble.
Oh, I work so hard. I work so hard on my falling away shots and all this. I don't know. That doesn't seem too humble to me. I mean, and it seems like he tries to do those shots all the time on purpose just to show off. I mean, I've watched some of the games and the announcers have even said, there's no reason you need to do a shot like that. But, you know, that's sports talk, and that's not really what we do. That's the OFR guys. But, you know, shout outs to them. I'm kind of upset because that means basketball's over with, and who knows if NFL is going to come. Who knows if we're going to even have NFL in the next couple months. So we may not have good sports for a while. I'm just kind of sad. But anyways, that's really, you know, shout outs to, like, you know, like you said, Rashani. He's been, you know, he's been getting into our, like, little tight community recently. And
I've noticed that.
Yeah, and he's going to be doing a live podcast on Thursday. This should be out on Wednesday, so, you know, check that out. And I shout outs to all the OFR guys. You know, they're still working hard, tons of new stuff. And I don't know. Shout outs to, you know, Cerebral Strike and Ace Black for being in the chat and being patient with us. And I'm just gonna end with a teaser. Big announcement gonna come real soon. I just showed Stuart, and you know, I'll show Henry once we stop recording. But yeah, pretty big announcement for us anyways. So I guess with that, this has been episode 40.
Hold on.
What?
You're not gonna plug your movie thing?
Oh, that's gonna be out already. Or yeah, I guess. Yeah. Okay. If you're listening to this before 7 Central Standard, 8 Eastern, I'm doing and starting the first I recommend movie night, and I posted on Twitter asking people suggestions for movies, and you know, I picked one I thought would be the best out of all of them that people would like more, and we're doing Kick-Ass, so you know. Stuart, he's gonna join, and I think Devious Mr. Matt is signed up, and it should be on the site. I don't think it's on the homepage. I could be wrong. No, it's not on the homepage. It's on this second page. But you know, just hit me up on Twitter or you know, Xbox or whatever, and let me know if you want to join our movie night. And I guess with that, this has been episode, unless there's anything else, Stuart.
No, that's all I got.
Okay. I get, you know, this has been episode 49 of the Geeks for the Win podcast. And we will see you next week for episode 50.
Woohoo!